You know how I consider myself a millennial?
Yes, we've had this debate before, but yes, I know that you consider yourself to be.
Raven doesn't think I'm a millennial because he says I'm too old, but I am 40 years old, yeah. And that is the cutoff. And according to this article, it says now that millennials are turning 40, me.
Turning 40.
Right.
I mean, I feel like you're a few months on the backside of it, but all right.
Close enough. Here are the middle-aged things they find themselves saying.
Okay.
All right. Do you say any of these things?
I probably say all of them.
Do you call a 21-year-old guy a kid?
Absolutely.
Come on.
I do.
All right. I've got,
my kid is 23.
Okay.
I call him and all his friends kids.
They just don't make them like they used to about good wood dressers. I've never said that.
Well, you know, a good wood dresser is a fine crafted piece of furniture, but mm-hmm. It's not something I want. One of those heavy oak things. Forget it.
I haven't had a drink in 6 months. I'm not sober or anything. It's just that alcohol makes me sleepy.
No, I have not said that.
At Home Depot said, oh yeah, that's some good lumber. Never came out of my mouth.
Well, I'm not going to deny it.
Okay. Here's one that I'm really guilty of.
Okay.
And when I saw it, I cringed. You want to go out for dinner? I can't. I have chicken in the fridge and I have to cook it before it goes bad. I have that conversation all the time with my friends and my mom. My mom will be like, you want to bring the girls over for dinner? And I'll be like, I can't. I got this chicken. I took it out of the freezer. It's in the fridge. I got to cook it. It's going to go bad.
That's one of my favorites from my wife. I mean, she doesn't like saying it, but she says it a lot.
Oh, because that's true. It's like the minute you take that out, the meat out of the freezer, or it's been sitting for a certain amount of days, you know that your hours are numbered.
Right.
And I would rather get salmonella poisoning than have to throw it away and lose that money that I spent on it.
No, I understand. It's the principle of the entire thing.
And how about this one? I can't have caffeine or I'll never go to sleep. And you say those things by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't have that problem because I can fall asleep at any time. But Raven, go ahead. Give your spiel about caffeine.
Well, the thing is I'd love caffeine. And like you, I could fall asleep after drinking an entire 2 liter of Coca-Cola. The problem is if I ingest that much Coca-Cola.
What happens, Raven?
My cardiologist tells me that I'll die.
Uh-huh. Yep. Your cardiologist. When you refer constantly to your cardiologist, you're getting older, buddy. That's what it comes down to. You know that person that has seen every single movie, no matter when it was from? That's Raven. And I'm the opposite. I've never seen any famous movies. I grew up with immigrant parents. They came here from Italy, and they didn't really understand you're supposed to go to movie theaters. You're supposed to see these big blockbuster movies. I never did any of that growing up.
I will sample most movies at least once, and movies that even I have enjoy, I'll probably watch dozens of times.
Right. So this past weekend, my oldest daughter, Hayden, is auditioning for community theater, and they're doing this movie. Well, actually, this Broadway play.
I know the opening scene. My arms are swinging right now.
Yep.
I mean, I had a little sister, man. She watched this movie probably twice a day, despite it being over 3 hours long.
Right. So when Hayden told me that she wanted to audition for this play, I was like, well, we should probably watch the movie, you know? So we watched it this past weekend, and it's a movie from 1965.
Sure.
But you still, like, want to talk about it,
it's
you know?
It's so big that it used to require 2 VHS tapes, if anybody can remember that. 2 tapes.
And I was like, who's going to talk to me about a movie about Austria and Nazis and a nun from 1965? Here's the good part. Raven. Raven was ready. I walked in. I go, hey, did you ever see The Sound of Music? He's like, yeah. And he just went off on a tangent. Raven, tell us in 2 sentences or less what The Sound of Music is about.
Salacious singing nun replaces deceased mother and wife of the Von Trapp family in their decadent Austrian mansion slash castle. It's kind of more like a castle.
Yeah.
All is wonderful until those pesky Nazis show up.
Yeah.
Darn it, Nazis.
I don't understand.
Stay away from my singing party.
I don't understand why that movie didn't end an hour early just at the wedding. That's what I said. It would be perfect if it just ended right there.
You have more like 3 more singing songs after that to get in there. Like, you know, dance numbers and all that.
But that's what I mean. You ever watch like a show or a series that it's been over for like 10 years and all of a sudden like Mad Men. I just watched Mad Men recently.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to talk about Mad Men anymore. It's been over for like 5 years.
Yeah, I just finished Breaking Bad. Same thing.
Yeah. But Raven's that guy. And that's why you can give him any movie and he could tell you about it in two sentences without fail. I've never seen a lot of movies from the 80s and 90s, again, because my parents never knew I was supposed to watch it. Raven, I never saw Grease. Tell me what Grease is about.
Danny and Sandy meet during a summer vacation romance, only to return to high school to see that they are actually classmates now at this point, despite the fact that both of them look like they're 40 years old right now.
Yeah.
Singing ensues after that.
Sandy!
Danny?
What are you doing here? I thought you were going back to Australia.
We had a change of plan.
Well, that's cool, baby. I mean, you know how it is. Rocking and rolling and whatnot.
Danny?
He can't let his friends know that he actually fell for Sandy during the summertime.
But nobody thinks it's weird that she was supposed to go to Australia and then they changed their mind?
Right. There's no follow-up question. Like, right. Why didn't you go? Was it sharks?
One of these
was
days.
Was it Hugh Jackman?
I'm going to watch that movie one of these days.
What happened?
Yeah. How about, what's Jaws about in two sentences or less?
Oh, this is one of my favorites, right in my wheelhouse here. Sheriff Brody defends life, limb, and the island of Amityville from a giant, massive great white shark. A dude named Quint tells dirty jokes and sings limericks of the sea.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain.
For we've received orders to sail back to Boston. And so never shall we see you again.
Did Jaws eat people? Just tell me yes or no.
Oh, yeah. He'll eat anybody he wants.
Oh,
also,
really?
He ate the holiday roast of this one guy at the beginning there. And he almost ate that guy, too. He pulled him off the dock.
1-800-330-9999. You could call and name any famous movie that you've never seen, and Raven can tell you what it's about in two sentences. He's just that guy.
I mean, I love it. I wallow in that pool. If I could get paid to talk about movies all day, I would.
Right. So it's actually my favorite thing about Raven because I never see movies. So whenever I need to be like, hey, what's Grease about again? He just rattle it off like it's nothing. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's a movie you've never seen?
Black Panther. I've never seen Black Panther.
Oh, man. Chadwick Boseman is totally ripped in this one and puts on a super, super tight outfit. Once they bury him in the garden, he wakes up with this purple magic about him. He's able to scale buildings and beat back any challengers to his throne. It's pretty awesome.
Only reason I don't kill you while you stand is because I know who you are. Now, what do you want?
I want the throne.
That was pretty quick. That was like nothing. I haven't seen Black Panther either, but it's on my list.
Are you serious?
I mean, you act surprised. I can't watch it with my two-year-old.
Michael Jordan and Chadwick Boseman, the fight scene, that was a move. That was a move, man. And then he holds his hand as he passes. Spoiler alert.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What movie have you never seen?
I have never seen Finding Nemo. I know it's about a fish or something, but, you know, that's it.
About a fish something. That is a lovely, wonderful movie for people of all ages, and there are many life lessons in that movie.
There's also Finding Dory, but for the sake of this, Raven, can you tell her all about Finding Nemo in just two sentences?
Let's see here. Fish with little fin overcomes challenges, ocean-wide adventures, Anna, full of peril. And then him and his daddy got a good bonding thing that happens at the end.
That was more than two sentences, but I'll accept it because it is Finding Nemo we're talking about.
I used an ellipsis, so to me, it's still two sentences.
Close enough.
Fish are friends, not food.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the movie you've never seen?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, I haven't seen that one either, Raven. Okay, I'm ready for this.
I mean, there's like 17 of them at this point, right? But I mean, pretty much the gist of all of them is Keira Knightley is a good girl gone bad. Orlando Bloom is basically the same, and then Johnny Depp is Johnny Depp. He shows up, he's drunk, he's irreverent, he's, you know, he's Johnny Depp.
But does it involve a ship or pirates?
Oh, yeah, there's that, too, but okay. I mean, that's it.
Okay.
What are you doing? You burned all the food, the shade, the rum.
Yes, the rum is gone.
Why is the rum gone?
I'm going to go see it now.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the movie you've never seen?
Terminator 2.
What? How could you never see Terminator 2, T2?
I never saw 1 or 2.
No interest.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are terrible. James Cameron, he's a genius. All right. Two sentences. Nice robot returns from the future to protect future leader of the world from mean robot who shows up to get it. Also, there's some Guns N' Roses songs in there.
Okay. Got it.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
See, now you don't have to watch it. You're welcome.
No, you should watch
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Because everything I said is awesome.
Okay.
You should watch it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the movie you've never seen?
Hey, yeah, I've never seen Titanic.
Oh.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like a chick flick to me.
I disagree. I have seen Titanic, and that is a fantastic movie.
It's not a chick flick, but I'll just tell you that the ending's somewhat a downer. So, you know, prepare yourself for that.
All right, Raven, go ahead. Give it to him. Two sentences. What is Titanic about?
Titanic. Scrappy hobo card player spends 3 hours chasing Rose around the world's biggest ship, doesn't realize it's sinking right until he's in the actual water. Could have built a raft.
And he dies.
What?
Well,
I only had two sentences, man.
Yeah, I know, but you got to tell him what happens. That's like the whole point of it.
I'll never let go. I promise.
I'll never let go. And then what does she immediately do, Raven?
Spoiler alert, she lets go, bro.
Yep, yep.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Let's check the text line, Raven. Let's see. When you teach your children it's okay to take things, a.k.a. steal from other children, that's all I need to know about you. Who does that? That is something seriously wrong. If you teach your kids to steal from other kids. Somebody stole Hayden's scissors from school.
Now, did they really take it, or was it really just misplaced, and that's the assumption that we're making?
I don't know. I asked her, because she was all upset, and she's like, oh, they borrowed my scissors, and they didn't give them back. I go, did they accidentally borrow your scissors?
Right.
But I think it's always the boys. The boys, they don't have their stuff, and they borrow the girls' stuff, and they don't give it back. For sixth graders, things never change, I guess, at the end of the day. You know, it's the same thing from when I was a kid to now. The boys borrow your pen. The boys borrow the pencil. They don't give it back.
Well, you get sent off to school with a bunch of things, obviously, and you don't always come back with them. So that's true. Yeah, I can recall that from being younger.
You don't teach kids to steal. Let's see. Also on the text line.
One of the lowest things, right, is being a thief. That's
absolutely
for sure.
If you're driving and you're putting on eyeliner, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, my gosh. This goes right into mine. I saw somebody reading a book today. Reading a book. On the way. You're reading a book. And listen. Not that reading a book while driving would be safer when it was daylight, but it's not even daylight.
Right, we get to work so early, it's still dark outside.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They were reading, I watched them, you know, change a page. It wasn't like they were looking for an address or a secret code on said book. They were reading that book while driving.
How do you read a book? I remember when I used to have a really long commute and the traffic would be dead stop the whole way.
Sure.
This is, you know, pre-phone time. And I would bring magazines to flip through in traffic.
While you were stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even listen to like an Audible book while I'm driving. I'll go to sleep. That's it. No. Forget it.
Huh. Do people still wear eyeliner? I just started wearing eyeliner again. That's a story for another time.
I guess so.
I've been wondering that. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If there is somebody who, while you're standing in your line, needs to be on speaker having a loud conversation on their cell phone, that's all I need to know about them.
Don't you know how important I am? I'm super important.
I don't know what's more obnoxious, the speakerphone conversation or the people that still wear the weird Bluetooth thing in their ear. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I feel like those don't even work at this point, right? Like, technology's aged out. Like, if you're wearing that, it's, you know, it's a decoration. It's like an earring.
An intern years ago that would wear that, and it was very strange.
Right, because he was clearly so important.
Yeah. Yesterday, Rebecca won $3,600. She beat Raven and can't beat Raven.
Yes.
Hi. We just wanted to say congratulations again, and we just wanted to talk to you about your win this morning, because that's a lot of cash.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited, you guys. I'm a huge fan, and I've been calling in and calling in, and my family thinks I'm nuts. But like, we're all shocked. Like, everybody's like, no way, no way.
I mean, people think you're crazy until you're running around with the money, right? Congratulations.
Right.
Great victory.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Now they want to be my best friend, right? Now they're like, can I have?
So it's five questions, can't be Raven, five pop culture questions.
Yeah.
And when I asked this question and you answered so quickly, I had a really good feeling. And number five, Gone with the Wind will celebrate 85 years since being published this June. Who wrote Gone with the Wind?
Margaret Mitchell.
You didn't even hesitate. You knew it like it was nothing. And I have to be honest, I was an English teacher for many years, and I don't think I would have been able to pull it out that quickly.
You know, I have to say, I've prepared a lot for these questions. Like, I kind of look and see what happened and stuff. That came out of the blue, and I channeled some, I don't even know what that was.
Mm.
I knew it instantly. As soon as I heard Gone with the Wind, I just like, it just came right into my head. And I thought the same thing probably, Anna, that you thought, which is that Raven's not going to know this one.
It's true. It's a bit of a blind spot for me.
I always say Raven has three weaknesses: Disney, literature, and geography. So usually, yeah, if it's one of those three things, I can trip them up a little bit. And you can submit trivia questions at annonraven.com. So a guy named Ray submitted that one yesterday, and I'm like, oh, that's a good last question, because I don't know if Raven's going to get it. The problem always, yeah, is, though, is that even if Raven, you know, doesn't get it right, like, you still have to get it right.
Well, congratulations. Ray is now on my list.
Yeah.
I was getting worried about a question getting submitted by other people, though, because I kind of feel like I got a pattern down with Anna. I know, kind of see where you're going a lot of times.
Oh, so she's cracked your algorithm.
No, I'll never be able to get questions other people are submitting.
But let's relive the moment you won. Sound good?
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Who wrote Gone with the Wind?
Frost. Stephen King?
Tell her, Raven. Just tell her.
Congratulations, Rebecca. You just won $3,600.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, I've been trying to get through so long. I was so nervous.
Congratulations.
Oh, my gosh. Do I get to say the phrase?
Say it, Rebecca. Say it loud and proud.
This is Rebecca, and I just beat Raven.
Well, I'd take the rest of the week off, personally, myself.
And what are you going to do with the cash, Rebecca? Have you even thought about that, or are you just going to put it in savings?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, I've been living in my house, right, like everybody, way too much time here. So I definitely want to have a little guilt-free spree over at Home Goods and freshen up a little bit. And then I'll put some away for something fun, definitely. Really excited. I mean, it's just a light in the middle of all this ongoing gloomy year. And a very unexpected, fun little win. So I'm really excited.
Enjoy, Rebecca. It was well earned. 5-4. That's a true victory right there for the money.
Yeah,
I give it up for you. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you. You are an impressive competitor for sure.
Well, Rebecca did it. $3,600 richer. That means later on this morning, the jackpot for Can't Beat Raven will reset to $100. Now, if you want to play and go head to head with Raven, you can text CBR to 1-800-330-9999, or you could always sign up to play at annonraven.com. And if you've got questions, man, I love receiving those too. You can do that at annonraven.com as well.
Will I be on tilt or will I be ready to go? There's only one way to find out.
After we had my older daughter become so attached to her lovey orange, I said that when we had my younger daughter, we were never going to do that again, give her the stuffed animal that she sleeps with every night. And here we are, same thing.
I don't think you really get to decide what it is that they love, though, right? I mean, you give them something. I mean, it's a baby, so sooner or later you're going to give that baby a blanket, you're going to give them some sort of toy, and then they decide what it is that they love.
Do you have a lovey, and what's the deal with your lovey, your children, or even you as an adult? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. For Hayden, my oldest daughter, Orange was a carnival prize that we won when she was 4 months old. It's a seahorse, and she sleeps with it every night. To this day, she's 12. Now she's better. It can come or go and she's all right, but when she's home, she has it in bed with her.
Sure.
Dakota, I said I'm not going to make the mistake where we only have one and we can't replace it. So we have Henrietta the purple hippopotamus.
Right.
And Henrietta's has a hippopotamus head, but kind of like a blanket body. And she chews on the blanket body to the point where it's disgusting and it smells like raw feet.
Now, did you buy backups for Henrietta? Because the orange thing, I remember, was an entire fiasco. Orange was lost at one point.
Yes.
You had one additional orange, you had one again, and then that carnival stopped selling them, or that boardwalk stopped having them. You had to find the manufacturer, and then you ordered, like, what, 50 of them?
I ordered a case from China of oranges, the seahorses. There was 12 in a box. That's what I had to do that time. But for Henrietta's, the purple hippopotamus, I knew right away. I go, I need to have backups just in case. But it's backfired in my face because I bought 4 of them.
Yeah.
And now she just sleeps with all 4.
Oh, now she's deciphered. So now it's Henrietta 1, 2, 3, 4. She has different names and all that.
She can only count to 4. And every night she counts Henrietta's 1. Henrietta's 2,
wow.
Henrietta's 3, Henrietta's 4. Yep.
I mean, that's amazing. My dogs rip apart their toys. We have a whole box full of backup lamb chops, but I mean, he doesn't count them.
No. Nope.
If we just give him one, he just goes to work on that one. He doesn't count.
My kids are not alone, though. The most common bedtime companion as kids were stuffed animals, 37% of people.
Okay.
Teddy bear was 29%, and special blanket was 28%. But this is the stat that got me, Raven. 13% of adults, grown-ups, still sleep with their lovies every single night. That's more than 1 in 10 adults.
I mean, that's odd to me. But if it keeps you off of some sort of behavioral medication or having to do yoga 5 times a day so you don't lose your mind, I'm here for it. Why not?
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anne on Raven. Do you have a lovey?
So I am 34 years old, and my lovey is my Froggy. It's a very old Beanie Baby, and he's all scratched up and the tag's missing, but I've had him forever, and he sleeps right on my nightstand, and sometimes I even sleep with him right underneath my face.
Once you take off the tags off a Beanie Baby, though, like, then it's not really worth anything. It's just sentimental.
Are you going to start having the talk with her now about your Princess Diana Beanie Baby that's encapsulated in plastic?
Maybe if you took better care of Froggy.
It's going to be worth.
My Princess Diana Beanie Baby
is worth like $11 now.
It's in pristine shape. One day it's going to be worth a lot of money. Maybe if you took better care of Froggy and you didn't sleep with it under your face every night and had the tags, then Froggy would be worth money one day.
I mean, she doesn't need it. Froggy is worth your heart. Don't you apologize to her.
They define a lovey as, here we go, any object that a baby or toddler bonds with in order to feel comforted and secure. Both my girls have loveys. Hayden is 12, and she has Orange, who she got when she was 4 months old. It's a seahorse that she won at a carnival. We won at a carnival for her. And Dakota now sleeps with 4 Henriettas, purple hippopotamuses. I bought one, and then I bought 3 as backups, but now she will only sleep with all 4.
You know, it really is a security blanket. Adults have it, too, now. They're therapy animals or whatever. I saw somebody took a therapy bunny to a football game the other day. So, I mean, whatever you need to feel better about it, right?
I guess.
Life, this thing, it can be stressful.
13% of adults still sleep with a stuffed animal every single night. That surprised me. I felt like that was a high number. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Do you have a lovey?
My cat actually has a lovey that he stole from me when he was a couple months old.
Yeah, so pets, they have them. You know, we don't always think about it, but my little puppy stole the Ewok from his bigger brother, and every time he picks it up and he sleeps with it every single night still, I see the sadness on his brother's face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is a game that they play back and forth. They do it every single night. And whenever he's anxious, like if there's a thunderstorm or whatever, he runs up into his crate and he goes and he gets his Ewok.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, animals have comfort things too.
7 years old.
And still keeping your
lovey. 7 years old and you still have it.
That's funny.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you have a lovey as an adult or do your kids do?
My daughter Madison has a lovey.
What kind of lovey is it?
It is a pink blanket with butterflies on it. I'm not exactly sure where she's gotten it from, but she sleeps with it every day.
See, this is the problem.
In the car.
When you don't know where it came from on top of it, right? I mean, because life is busy. Your head is spinning most days, just managing your regular life. Add small children into it, and it can be overwhelming. You have no idea where that blanket came from.
Well, no, the thing that makes me paranoid is that she takes it in the car with her, because I have a rule after we lost one of Hayden's oranges when she was little, was that I don't like them to leave the house.
Never.
And when we go on vacation, I am paranoid. I carry them in my purse. I don't even pack them because I'm afraid that something is going to happen to them.
Yeah, nothing like leaving orange down at the theme park 5 states away.
It happened.
Ann Raven, are you an adult with a lovey?
No, but my daughter had a nanny.
What's that?
It was a little piece of her receiving blanket when she was little, and she had it, oh my goodness, I don't know how many years, but we left it one time at a hotel, and they mailed it back to us.
Oh, it's a big deal.
Oh, that's
deal.
Nice. I love those stories when somebody takes the time to do something like that.
I know.
Because if not, you just imagine that lovey out there roaming the countryside alone and lonely.
We were so happy to get it.
As a parent, there is literally nothing worse than when your child loses their lovey. It's Anna and Raven. You have a lovey?
I don't sleep with my lovey anymore, but I definitely have Kelsey in my nightstand.
Kelsey in your nightstand.
Who's Kelsey?
Kelsey is a Barbie from when I was young.
Of course.
I slept with her, you know, my whole childhood. When I went to college, she came with. I got married and moved north, Kelsey came. And
I mean,
now she
sits
in my nightstand.
She wasn't physically at the wedding, was she?
I will not disclose that.
Oh, my God.
So now Kelsey just lives
in
your nightstand.
She lives on the show. That's her condo. That's her flat.
She hangs out in my sock drawer.
Nice. Do you ever take Kelsey out?
Yeah, every once in a while, if I want to be sentimental, sure. Right.
Kelsey's like a prisoner.
Have a conversation when you need it. Right. Kelsey, I need you, girl.
You know, Raven, the strangest part about both my daughters being so obsessed with their loveys is that I never had one growing up. So to me, it always seems so strange that they were so attached to these things to sleep with every single night, where I never had that. But I had the pacifier till I was in kindergarten. So I guess if you had to choose.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
That's a little bit weird. I mean,
no, it's a weird thing. I even said it out loud. But
I guess it's like being like an NBA player. They walk around with one of those mouthpieces. They never actually have them in their mouth. They're just chewing on them.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have been in the WNBA.
Maybe. 13% of Americans still sleep with their lovey from when they were a kid. My daughter, Hayden, she sleeps with her orange every night. Dakota, she's got four Henriettas. They're purple hippopotamuses. She sleeps with all four of them. Oh, what is your child's story with their lovey? Or is it you? Do you still have one? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
About 30 years ago, I was a teenager. I was working in a fabric store, and I had a mother come in with a despondent toddler. Everybody had bags under their eyes. It had been a couple of weeks since the lovey had been lost, and they had tried giving this little girl every other kind of blanket and everything. She wouldn't sleep. She wouldn't take it. So we start walking this child around the store, and I'm showing her different, like, blanket kits and things like that. They have characters on them. And, you know, I'm going, oh, look, Mickey. And this child is just pushing it away. No, no. And that's all she would say. So the mother finally says, after about an hour of this, the mother finally says, you know what? I'm just going to put her on the floor and let her walk around and see if she takes to anything. About 10 minutes later, a very relieved mother and this beaming child come up to the counter with a satin fabric remnant. A little girl had found in the remnant bin, and it was like, you know, a dollar and a half or whatever. Turns out what the mother figured out in that moment was that her lovey blanket had a little satin edge. And that's what the little girl had taken to, and that's what she was missing. That was it. They walked out happy.
Yeah, you never know what it is, and that's the crazy part about it. Because they take to something certain about it, and then that's the thing that keeps them so engaged and helps them sleep.
Crisis averted. Everybody got to sleep again.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the deal with your lovey?
I actually gave them to my middle child because he's obsessed with them, and he has so many now that he packs them inside one of those beanbag chairs, and so he has all of the stuffed animals forever.
Oh, you know, that's not a terrible idea, right? I mean, if you've got a beanbag chair, yeah, because sooner or later they're going to spring a hole, and you know you're going to get that stuff all over the place. If you start shoving bears in there, not bad. It's your own, like, compost pile going on under your butt. I like it.
Right, and he's going to be 13, so he doesn't want people to see stuffed animals, but he still has them.
I like it. Sneaky.
That's a good plan.
He's taking that to college with him. Don't worry.
That is a good plan. Ann Raven, do you have a lovey?
Well, my son had a little cow, and the dog got a hold of it one night, and I had to sew it back together with pieces missing, so we started calling it the 3 Mile Cow for the nuclear plant.
That's terrible. I love it. Very creative, though.
Do you have a spot that you're very overprotective of? Even though it doesn't really belong to anybody, it belongs to you. 1-800-330-9999. Raven, research shows that people are most overprotective over their side of the bed.
I can believe that. Yep.
That's
I've seen this firsthand on my hand. Mm-hmm. Which side of the bed do you sleep on?
So I sleep on the right side, and my husband sleeps on the left side. But there's a reason why we've kind of taken these sides of the bed. I always had to have the cradle, the bassinet, like when we had the babies. And for some reason, in both our homes, the right side of the bed was the side that had more, like, space
had
to the right.
Had space over on that side
of
it.
So I was able to keep the baby right next to me. So that's always just become my spot because of that.
I sleep on the right side of the bed also. And funny, in my house, the right side of the bed at this point actually has more of the walkway over towards the closet area and all that stuff too. So there's more space. But I just sleep there because that's where I sleep there. If I sleep on the other side, my shoulder feels weird. I don't know where to put my arm.
Okay.
If I sleep like this, my arm feels like it's broken and is numb for the first 10 minutes of the next day, but it's better than the alternative.
Science says that where you sleep in your bed has a lot to do with two different things.
Okay.
If you're somebody that tinkles frequently, bathroom proximity.
If you're somebody that uses the word tinkle.
Listen.
But okay. All right. So if you use the bathroom a lot.
Uh-huh. And primal fear has a lot to do with it. So a lot of times,
what?
If you have like fear of like intruders in the middle of the night, you want to sleep further in where the person next to you will protect you from that door.
Or basically just slow that thing down, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be faster than the bear, just faster than your friend.
So Raven and I thought, what would happen? And my husband and I have been sleeping on our sides of the bed for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if out of nowhere We said, you know what? We're just going to get in the other side and see what they say. How would they react to that?
Mike, can be a little bit awkward, as you'll hear.
What are you doing?
What if I sleep on this side tonight?
No. Why would you want to do that?
I just wanted to sleep on this side. Who says sides are assigned?
You are not sleeping on my side.
What do you think, guys? I'll just sleep right here.
I try and get the dogs involved.
Yeah.
Because they'll back me up when something's weird. This is how she reacts.
What are you doing? You're not sleeping on my side. You look like you eat a canary or something.
Yeah, danger is how she reacted. Like it was a dangerous mode right there. And all of a sudden, I just want to go to bed. I want to survive the evening
right.
At this point. So I ended up moving back over to my side.
Yeah, so I got on my husband's side of the bed. And I made myself cozy. I turned on the TV. And he walks in. And he's walking around for a good amount of time doing things in our bedroom.
Yeah.
And doesn't even say a word that I'm on his side of the bed.
Do you think he was doing it because he was just like, she's gonna wake up from this trance she's in and realize that she's in the wrong place and move herself?
No, I don't know what he was thinking, but he didn't seem overly concerned. So finally, I just say this.
I was thinking that maybe we should switch sides of the bed.
Sure, sleep on the other side.
Sure, sleep on the other side. And then he just walked out of the room like nothing had happened.
It sounded like he replied from the hallway.
Right.
Was Paul angry with you that night?
No, it was just him walking out of the room. It's like he took a second to think about it. And then he's like, she's nuts. All right, you want to sleep on the other side of bed? Sure. I was so surprised. Your side of the bed is the number one spot that people say belongs to them and nobody else can have it, even though it doesn't technically really belong to anybody. 1-800-330-9999. Besides your side of the bed, what is that spot that belongs to you? Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
So me and my husband have one of those couches where they have the two recliners on each side, and I kind of always like to go to the side that has like a table next to it so I can put my coffee down. So I never realized we both have each of our sides until we just switched, not thinking about it, and my 3-year-old son yelled at us and said, "You're not in the right seat." Go sit over there, and Dad has to go sit over there.
Feel like everybody's couch has got a similar rule.
Yes.
Right? Like, I feel the same way because the left side is most definitely my side of the sectional. And our dog trainer told us we had to switch for the dog training.
Oh, my gosh.
And everybody gets discombobulated. I can't stand it. And the dogs are like, what is happening?
My couch has a cuddler in one corner, and I go in the cuddler, and God forbid one of those kids or my husband tries to sit in my cuddler. Like, get out!
Oh, yeah.
Crazy person.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What spot are you very protective over?
So at work in the conference room, I only sit in the chair by the door so I can sneak out to the bathroom.
I forgot
very
about school. When I was in school, I always wanted the back corner closest to the window so I could just stare out the window.
Yeah, I was a back row or a front row. It depended on, you know, like how I felt that day.
Mm.
But I didn't have a consistent spot in every class.
Yeah.
It's funny because everything else in my life, I feel like that's my spot.
Yeah.
In school, I was just like, whatever.
No, I was the opposite. I needed to be closest to the window because I would just stare out the window.
Hello, Mr. Squirrel. I like to dream of being free like you are.
Just daydreaming.
Talk
not paying
to me
any
in your
attention.
Squirrel language, Mr. Squirrel Man.
Put my head down, take a nap. That was me. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What spot are you overprotective of?
I have a spot that I sit at all my son's football games on bleachers. I'm superstitious. And I believe that if I don't sit in that same spot, we lose. So, you know, all the parents know it. Nobody ever tries to take my spot.
See, that's good. When you've got a plan with the people around you, everybody knows what's supposed to be going on. This one's got to wear that hat today.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to sit here. Right. This one's going to sneak a beer. These are all part of the rules. This is part of the cadence. There's a canon to this thing.
Exactly.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What spot are you overprotective of?
I use the same exact bike every single morning at the gym, and I literally got into a fight once with another woman that snuck into class before me and tried to take the bike.
No, this is always a big deal. Yeah, this always happens in fitness classes and fitness groups. I feel like you get very used to your routine, the classes you go to, the instructors you take, and the spot you stand in, and you become very protective of it.
Yeah, that's funny. What a strange thing to be witness to, though, right? And both of you are willing to die on that molehill because you both believe it's your spot.
Yes, but it's been my spot for years.
No, it's not your spot.
I know everybody in class. It's my spot. Well, she has to take it. And she knows better now. She knows better.
She knows better?
Oh, just, this used to happen in my Zumba class all the time. In my Zumba classes, whoever would claim a certain spot, then they would like get into arguments with each other. And there's not even a bike. It's just literally a spot.
Like weird.
Goosebumps. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday. It's easy things you can do every day to make your life better. Now, today, it's four things you can do in less than 10 minutes for free that will make you happier.
I like that. Sounds pretty good. Happiness for free. Sounds also impossible, but I'll take every hint that I can get.
One of these I know you're really going to be into. Let's start with the number one thing is message someone you know that you haven't spoken to in a while.
Oh, actually, I had a conversation with somebody I haven't spoken to in a while, like 2 weeks ago. It did make me feel good.
See?
It was very nice.
That's nice and easy. You could send a fun memory you had or a funny photo. I love doing that when the pictures pop up on Facebook, like the throwback pictures.
Sure.
Sending them off to friends and being like, remember when? All right, number two thing you can do to make you happier, organize your errands. So organize all the small errands you need to do and start checking them off. Planning like that helps you reduce procrastination and we feel less stressed out and more accomplished.
You know, I love a list. If I don't have a list, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, we're big on lists here, believe it or not. You'll find them all over the studio.
Big.
The third one, Raven, I know is right up your alley. If you want to be happy, check how many vacation days you have and start planning a quick vacation. Even if it's just mentally, it gets you in the mind frame of something to look forward to, and it immediately elevates your endorphins and makes you happier.
Oh, I need something on the book, something to look forward to.
Yep. But the fourth one is where I really want to stop and talk for a second, because watching relaxing videos, even if it's just a minute, 60 seconds of a relaxing video, can completely change the mood and course of your day. And there's actually specific videos that you can watch that do that, that give this reduce your stress, make you happy. The number four one you can watch is this guy.
Hi, I'm Bob Ross, and for the next 13 weeks, I'll be your host as we experience the joy of painting. I think there's an artist hid in the bottom of every single one of us, because you too can paint almighty pictures.
You can paint an almighty picture.
Is there anything better than when he starts doing the happy cloud portion of the painting?
Here, we'll make a happy little cloud.
Yeah, I love it. A happy cloud is always right around the corner, you know, with Bob Ross.
It's funny. I pulled up the video and you immediately go in a trance.
Yep.
You're just like, huh.
Yeah, this is great.
Yep. Second video that you should definitely watch to make you happy today. This one, I'm going to be honest with you, I disagree with. I don't understand what the big pump is about this. Listen. It's ASMR.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not into that stuff. That sounded like somebody...
It's somebody eating a honeycomb. And that is considered one of the top 10 most relaxing videos on the internet. Is some lady eating a honeycomb and listening to the sound of her chewing. I don't know.
Yeah, close your mouth, buddy. Close your mouth.
This one, I'm not on board with either, but it's considered to be the second best video of what you can watch to relax you and make you happier on the internet.
What's that? What?
Just cat. Just people listening to cats. I don't find that relaxing.
No, me neither.
Right.
Me neither, man. I'm good. I'm good.
Are you asleep? Do you feel happier now?
Stop. No.
No.
Turn you off. That's
number
what you're
one
gonna
video
play over there.
But the number one video that is supposed to always make you happier, and you should take 60 seconds out of your day today. Recent study out of UC Berkeley found that people who watch parts of that BBC series, Planet Earth.
Oh, what did I tell you?
They feel more joy, more amusement, more curiosity, overall happier.
Chicks are of various ages and the older ones hang out in gangs. The younger chicks still need babysitters.
David Attenborough.
He is the best.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is the champion of my heart when it comes to nap time.
Yeah, we're going to go home and watch that right now.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Maureen and Nathan. Maureen, what's going on?
So we have a 10-year-old daughter, and she got into a fist fight with another kid at school, and she was suspended because she punched a girl in the face.
That sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds serious anyways, right?
Yeah, it's really bad. And our fight is that Nathan didn't punish her.
Nathan, why wouldn't you punish your 10-year-old daughter who fist fought another student at school?
Well, it could be circumstances, right? I mean, who knows who started it? What happened, Dad?
In my opinion, the other girl was a bully and deserved it. So she has made fun of my daughter's weight so many times. In my opinion, she deserved it.
This is something that your daughter has spoken to you about, that this girl has been a bully to her, or is this the first time you heard about it after this fight that they had?
No, she's come home crying multiple times.
Oh.
And it's too much.
But wait a minute.
Which is why she should go to her teacher.
Right. So now when she hit this other child, did the other child strike first? Because I always think, like, if you...
Strike first.
Because my dad always
taught
me,
no mercy.
Like, you don't start a fight, but you always finish it. So, like, did your daughter throw the first punch because she got called a name? Did that happen, or was she protecting herself?
She did. I mean, she was protecting herself emotionally. I get that, but, like, no, she needs to learn to use her words.
She was protecting herself emotionally, but she threw the first punch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I believe that. First off, in a fight, who knows who threw the first punch? You're talking about the word of two kids talking about each other. You can't trust witnesses in that. And bullying is a serious thing. Furthermore, you know what? In grade school, when I got bullied, I told teachers, I told, you know, different people, and they didn't always fix the problem. They can't be everywhere at all times. I got to tell you, Dad, I think I'm surprised, but I can understand some of what you're saying.
Maureen, if your daughter said that she threw the first punch and she admitted to it, I can see where you're coming from.
So she said it?
Yeah.
She admits it?
Yes.
Okay.
Huh. She says the girl called her fat and she punched her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with Nathan that there's only so much she could take. She tried talking to a teacher. It didn't work. And she stood up. But this time, but she has in the past. But Maureen, people may be with you too. At the end of the day, like, that's not how you settle a problem. And all it's going to do is hurt her in the future, because it's going to stay on her record if she gets suspended from school.
Nathan, did you talk to her and tell her that she typically can't handle this, but just didn't ground her or whatever?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, she's come home crying multiple times.
Yeah.
At one point, she said she refused to go back to school because she was so upset by everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the teachers didn't do anything, that they would just sit there and watch.
Well,
so,
let's see what the audience
thinks. That's not right either. I mean, there's a million things here that aren't right, but let's see what our audience has to say.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Nobody ever wants to see their child being bullied. You want them to stand up for yourself, from themselves. So when Maureen and Nathan's 10-year-old daughter punched another girl at school after she repeatedly, you know, made fun of her and teased her, Nathan said, good for you. But Maureen said, no, you threw the first punch. You can't do that. You can't hit people.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing, obviously, right? Because nobody wants to encourage violence, and especially amongst kids. We want to teach our kids to be better than we were. On the other hand, anybody who's ever been bullied and been in that situation knows that it can be relentless, and you can do all the right things, talk to all the right people, and you still feel like you're drowning every single day in it. It's a difficult position to be in.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's the Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Well, I think I'm on the fence. I think they definitely should talk to their daughter about why what she did shouldn't have been the first resort, but I don't think they should discourage the fact that their daughter's not afraid to take the upper hand, because the teachers aren't going to be there when she gets older. She's confronted and she can't be in a position where she can walk away. But I think they should just tell her what she did was wrong, but it wasn't totally bad. They should be happy she can defend herself.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Be honest with you, it's my least favorite subject to talk about.
Yeah,
it really is.
You're uncomfortable. You are uncomfortable.
Because I know what it feels like, but all right. Maureen and Nathan have a 10-year-old daughter who gets bullied at school. And their 10-year-old hit another girl who spoke up to her. Now, they have gone to the teachers before, but she hit first. And that's why Maureen is upset, because Maureen says you never hit somebody first. It doesn't matter what they say to you. Nathan thinks she did nothing wrong. Like, what? She was just defending herself.
Well, I mean, he's not happy with it, but he's prouder of the result than maybe he would be if she just let this other girl push her around continuously as she's done. You know, listen, you can follow all the right channels, right? And Maureen is right. We don't want to encourage anybody to hit anybody. But at the same time, if you've talked to the adults, if you've talked to the teachers, you know, kids aren't dumb. So people, they're able to manipulate the situation, see where the window is for them to pick on somebody again, and they'll find you.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the husband's side. I mean, sometimes you have to handle a bully with just punching them in their face and leave you alone. I'm sorry. It's just, that's how it is sometimes. Because, I mean, if they keep on bothering her and keep on bothering her, the only way, if she didn't already told teachers, they didn't do nothing, nothing happened. Listen, sometimes you just have to handle it yourself by just
one good punch and then that's it.
I'm with you.
She got punished from school. Let the dad, you know, the dad talk to her. You know, yeah, you don't settle everything with a punch. But, you know, when you get to a certain point, you just have to let people know, like, yo, stop bothering me.
No,
Thank you.
That's how it was in my neighborhood. Thanks for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. If she went to the teachers and whoever else, the aides outside or wherever all of this is happening, and they did nothing, then you know what? You hear two things. I hit you and you hit the floor. That's what my dad used to tell me when I was a kid. And you know what? Bullies need to be put in their spot.
But what happens if that bully punches back and now it's like you get hurt?
Well, I mean, again, it's a lesson for both of them, though, right? Then now you know sooner or later somebody's going to confront you.
I don't like it. Whose side are you on? Good morning. It's Anna and Raven.
Good morning. I'm on his side. Those type of things nowadays, you got to nip in the butt. I mean, emotionally abused is just as bad as physically abused in my eyes, especially if that was my little girl.
No question. It lasts forever, right? You remember those things. They are scarring.
100%. Think about this. If nobody was making fun of her, would she have hit anybody?
No, but then you're stooping down to their level.
Oh, right. Well, you should just let them continue to push you lower.
No, you got to learn how to stand up for yourself with your words.
Good. Thanks for the call. Mr. Rogers, I mean, are you going to be there holding her hand in the hallway?
Remember, I got picked on a lot and bullied a lot for being a fat kid, right? Mm-hmm. I never hit a person in my life. And you know how I used to shut them down? Because I had a big mouth, which is probably how I ended up doing this career at this day.
Right.
But I think there's other ways that you can go around it without leading to violence.
Think about all the time that you felt bad about yourself. What if you could have stopped that early on by just pushing one of them back?
No, I don't know. I'll take it my way every day.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Nathan, our audience agreed with you. She stood up for herself, and hopefully she doesn't have to deal with that ridicule anymore. She tried to go through the teachers. It didn't work, and she did what she felt was right in the moment. Maureen, I think you have a lot of issues to work out between the two of you to make sure you're on the same page and with the school to make sure that all of this gets better going forward.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm really surprised that they agreed with him. I was always taught, like, you don't
hit.
I was taught that if you start the fight, that means that you've already lost the moral high ground.
Well, right. I mean, that's true. But when you're talking about a girl who's being bullied at school, punch one of them in the face and the rest of them might get a little bit quiet, too.
You have a problem, too? Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Diane.
Hey, Diane, you are up. The jackpot today is up to $100. Rebecca yesterday took home that big jackpot, but $100 is still good money, right?
That's good. I'll take it.
Yeah, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Diane.
All right.
Thank you.
So Raven's walking out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, the people who made Framing Britney Spears are now working on a documentary about Janet Jackson's Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction. What 1993 movie did Janet Jackson star in with the late rapper Tupac?
I don't know.
Number two, Macaulay Culkin was pursued to play a role on The Big Bang Theory, but he didn't want to do a sitcom. Wesley Snipes was originally approached to play Lucius Lyon on Empire, but it went to Terrence Howard. And Chris Rock was once in talks to play George Costanza on Seinfeld. Who got that role?
Why am I blanking out? George Costanza is... Jason Alexander.
Okay. Number three, Carrie Ann Inaba has taken a medical leave of absence from The Talk. She is also known as a judge on what reality TV show competition?
Dancing with the Stars.
Number four, Fox is developing an animated Flintstones sequel with Elizabeth Banks. She is going to be the voice of the Flintstones' daughter. What's her name?
Pebbles.
And number five, it's National Superhero Day. According to Rolling Stone, the greatest superhero of all time is the character played by Hugh Jackman. What character is that?
Who? Superman.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. All right, no. Raven. Diane got 3 out of 5.
Pretty good, Diane. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the people who made Framing Britney Spears are now working on a documentary about Janet Jackson's Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction.
And you know I am so here for this. They are going to burn Timberlake's world to the ground.
What 1993 movie did Janet Jackson star in with the late rapper Tupac?
Oh,
That's too easy. Poetic Justice.
That was a good movie.
No.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't a great movie.
I think it's because when I was a teenager, yeah. Like it's like sticks with you in your heart. Like,
right.
All right, number two. Macaulay Culkin was pursued to play a role in The Big Bang Theory, but he didn't want to do a sitcom. Wesley Snipes was originally approached to play Lucius Lyon on Empire, but it went to Terrence Howard.
Wow.
And Chris Rock was once in talks to play George Costanza on Seinfeld. Who did that role go to?
Jason Alexander.
Yes. Number three, Carrie Ann Inaba has taken a medical leave of absence from The Talk. She is also known as a judge on what reality TV show competition?
Isn't she Dancing with the Stars?
Yes. Number four, Fox is developing an animated Flintstones sequel series with Elizabeth Banks, who will also provide the voice of the Flintstones' daughter. What's her name?
Pebbles.
And number five, it's National Superhero Day. According to Rolling Stone, the greatest superhero of all time is the character played by Hugh Jackman. What character is that?
Wolverine.
I'm sorry, Diane. He beat you 5-3 this morning. We will get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Diane, and I eat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Diane. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.